First Thessalonians chapter 5, when you find it, if you please stand if you're able to. If you need to remain seated for health reasons, please do so. But if you can stand, let's stand together as we begin reading in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore.
Amen.
Pray without ceasing.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit.
Amen.
Despise not prophesying.
Amen.
Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good.
Amen.
Abstain from all appearances, all appearance of evil.
Amen.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this morning and the opportunity to open up the Bible. Lord, thank you for the Bible, that you did not leave us here to try to figure things out on our own, to go by general consensus, but you've given us your word, the truth. For Jesus said, thy word is truth. Please bless as I preach the message I believe you've led me to preach this morning. Use it to bring glory to yourself and to draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. I do pray if someone's here that's not saved, not certain if they were to die today, that they would go to heaven, that today they would get that settled and experience the forgiveness of sins and the peace of God that passes all understanding through the free salvation you offer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But then, Lord, for those of us that know you, please challenge us with the truth that we're looking at this morning. Bless the message. Use it again to bring glory to yourself. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this Thursday, Americans will be celebrating, of course, what we all know, the national holiday that we know as Thanksgiving.
Right.
And really, the very name of the holiday tells us what the holiday is.
Right.
It is a time to give thanks.
Right.
Thanksgiving.
Amen.
And by the way, the implied recipient of that thanks is God.
Amen.
We are to give thanks to God. Now, while history in recent years has become a topic of debate and opinion, the general consensus has been that it was in 1621 that the Pilgrim Plymouth colonists and the Native American Wampanoag people shared this autumn harvest feast, which is now acknowledged as the first Thanksgiving celebration in the colonies. Then for the next two centuries, the days of Thanksgiving were frequently and repeatedly celebrated by both the colonies and later the individual states. But then in 1863, in the midst of a civil war, Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national Thanksgiving to be held the third Thursday of November every single year. Now, why did he do that? Why was that so important? Well, Lincoln's Thanksgiving Day proclamation reveals why. It says, in part, the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget the source from which they come.
Right.
It goes on to say this. No human counsel hath devised, nor any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God,
Amen.
Who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins,
right.
has nevertheless remembered mercy.
Amen.
It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father
Amen.
Who dwelleth in the heavens. Well, that's pretty simple. That's exactly what he wants, and that's exactly the right thing to do. Now, sadly, this Thursday coming up, while most Americans will be enjoying a day off from work, time with their family, some may be traveling, they'll have a time of eating, turkey and ham, or whatever your family tradition is, pumpkin pie with whipped cream, amen. Some may be watching football, relaxing in that recliner. Very few, and I repeat, very few Americans will even take a moment to mention what the day is truly about and give thanks to God for His goodness. Now, none of those things I mentioned are inherently wrong. It's not wrong to eat. Amen. We like to eat. We're Baptists. Amen. It's right to spend time with our family, no doubt. But I would like to encourage all of us, especially those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and believe the Bible, to remember the thanks in Thanksgiving.
Amen.
So this morning I'm going to preach on that subject, and that's the title of the message. Remembering the thanks in Thanksgiving. Now here in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is writing to this church that's located, obviously, in the city of Thessalonica. Now the church at Thessalonica was planted there on Paul's second missionary journey. We find the record of that church plant in Acts chapter 17. And Paul had moved on from that church plant and ended up in the city of Corinth. And it was from Corinth, the city of Corinth, while he was planting a church there, that he penned these words back to that church in Thessalonica. And here, as he's closing this first letter, because there's a second Thessalonians as well, as he's closing this first letter, he kind of shoots out kind of what I would call a machine gun list of eight different things that he says should characterize every single believer. And that list begins in verse 16. Notice he says, rejoice evermore.
Amen.
We should, as believers, be joyful people. Amen.
Amen.
I was looking at some of your faces when you were singing this morning. And maybe I should park there a little bit, but I'm not going to. I'll just leave it at that. You know who you are. But we should be joyful people. Amen. Be thankful that we have salvation. And then notice verse 17. He says, pray without ceasing. God's people should be people of prayer.
Amen.
I'm going to skip the next verse because we're going to park there. But look at verse 19. He tells us also, quench not the Spirit.
Right.
In other words, we should listen to the Holy Spirit of God when He speaks to our heart.
Amen.
Don't quench the Spirit.
Right.
Then in verse 20, notice he says, despise not prophesying.
Right.
What's that talking about? Talking about preaching.
Right.
We should not despise preaching.
Right.
We should love preaching.
Right.
God's people should look forward to the preaching of
Amen.
The Word of God.
Right.
Then in verse 21, he says, prove all things. In other words, we are to not just accept everything at face value. We are to test everything, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And we are to test it by using the Word of God.
Right.
We are to prove or to test all things.
Amen.
Verse 21, hold fast to that which is good. Obvious, we should cling to those things that are good and not those things that are bad. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. In other words, we should not only abstain from things that are evil, but also all appearance of evil, things that just give the appearance of being evil. You and I as Christians should not be associated with that.
Amen.
But notice in the middle of those things, those phrases there, notice we find the text we're going to park at this morning, and that is verse 18. Notice we read, a characteristic of a Christian, in everything give thanks.
Amen.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So believers, Christians, those of us that are saved,
right,
should not only be thankful on Thanksgiving,
Amen,
but that should be a given. We should be thankful all the time.
Praise
and my question is, are we?
Amen.
Are we thankful people?
Praise the Lord.
Let's consider several things this morning as I hope we'll get helped with this idea of remembering the thanks in Thanksgiving. Notice number one, the principle of giving thanks. There is a Bible principle. I'll go ahead and say it. A Bible command that you and I, as believers, should be thankful people. I mean, oh, I looked it up in a Strong's Concordance, and over in the Bible, we are commanded by God to give thanks to God.
Amen.
For example, 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. Psalm 30:4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalm 35:18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Psalm 50:14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
Amen.
Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. Amen. And will magnify His name with thanksgiving. Psalm 75:1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Psalm 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Then again in our text, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now I said all that to say this, giving thanks to God is a command.
Right.
It's something God commands us to do.
Yes.
Again and again and again. And they say, preacher, you read a lot of verses there. I did that for a reason. You were probably saying, I get it already. The question is, did we?
Good.
Did we get it?
Amen.
Why do you and I need to be reminded again and again in the Word? I mean, if you're reading through your Bible, it's not going to be long before you come across a verse that's going to say to you, oh, by the way, give thanks to God.
Right.
Oh, again, give thanks to God. Old Testament, New Testament, there it is. Give thanks to God. Why do we need to be reminded again and again?
Right.
I like the way commentator John Butler put it in his commentary on 1 Thessalonians. He said this, giving thanks is both a divine command and a difficult command.
Right.
Amen.
Why?
Good.
Why is it a difficult command? Why is it so hard for me and you to give thanks to God? Why is it we teach our children, don't we? Say thank you. Tell that person thank you. We don't just say, well, if you have a thankful spirit inside, that's all that matters. No. We say you need to express thanks to that person. And we say it again and again and again to them. Why do we have to say it to them so often? And why does God have to say it to us so often? Well, two reasons. Number one is this, because of our nature.
Right. Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? If you're saved here this morning, you may have the new nature, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You do if you're saved here this morning. We have Him. But guess what? We have something else inside of us.
Right.
It's called the old nature.
Amen.
Even if you're saved and you're living for God, inside of you and inside of me is a sin nature. It is called the old man. It's referred to as the Adamic nature. It is dwelling inside of me, inside of you, warring and battling against our new nature.
Right. Amen.
There's a fight going on there. You know, the Apostle Paul described this battle in Romans chapter 7. If you were to ask me who's the greatest Christian in the New Testament, obviously the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God.
Amen.
But I would say the Apostle Paul, hands down.
Right.
Listen to what he said years after he has been saved. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Romans 7:18, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. What he's saying there is that there's a want to in there. There's a will. I want to do right, but there's something in there that I don't want to do right. It's battling against me. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He says the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And the things I should be doing, many times I don't do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the old man.
Right.
You see, that's the battle that's going on inside of all of us, and that is the Adamic nature that is present in me and in you. And understand something about that Adamic nature. As Paul said it, there's no good thing in it. You see, the Adamic nature is never happy.
Right. Amen.
It's never satisfied.
Right.
It's never content. It never has enough, and it always wants more. You see, our flesh isn't thankful for anything.
Right.
It's not. And that's in me and in you. That's why God has to say to us again and again, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, because of our nature.
Right.
But there's another reason, and that is because of our culture.
Right.
Our culture. You see, the Bible clearly tells us two things. One, that the unsaved are unthankful.
Right.
And then also that the last days, which I believe we're in,
amen.
Turn on the news,
right.
Everything's lining up, Jesus Christ is coming again. If you haven't figured that out, you have your head in the sand.
Right.
Better make sure you're saved. Get to that here in a minute. But in the last days, it's going to be characterized by unthankfulness. Romans 1:21, describing the unsaved. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. 2 Timothy 4:2, for men, describing the last days, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. And this is where we are today.
God help us.
We live in a thankless culture.
Right.
You see, the majority of our culture lives with an attitude of entitlement.
Right.
You see, we feel that we are entitled to better pay, better benefits, and more stuff.
Right.
That is something we are entitled to. Two, many feel if they cannot afford something, that the government should pick up the tab. Because they owe me. Everybody owes me. That is the attitude of this world that you and I live in. One preacher wrote this. He wrote, quote, the majority of people never stop to give thanks for what they have. But loudly voice their desire to have more. We have enjoyed so many blessings that we have come to expect them. People don't acknowledge God anymore or give Him the credit He deserves as creator of the universe. Scientists would rather believe that we evolved from monkeys than to be thankful to God for creating us. People are no longer thankful that Christ died on the cross for their sins. They feel that they can save themselves or make it to heaven on their own terms. People don't give God honor and glory for their success in business. They will tell you it's because of their own hard work that they have accomplished these things. That's an accurate statement of where we are today. You see, giving thanks, giving gratitude, thanksgiving is the recognition along with the public expression of the fact that all that you and I have comes from God, not ourselves. He gave it to us. And you and I should be indebted to Him for everything. You see, thankfulness, thanksgiving, takes the focus off of me and places it on God.
Praise the Lord.
And it expresses the appreciation to God for all that you and I have. And we're commanded to do it.
Right.
I get the world won't do it. But if you're here in this auditorium this morning, it means, I would imagine, at least you acknowledge God. I hope you're all saved. But at least you acknowledge there's a God in heaven. And He deserves our thanks.
Absolutely.
Certainly, we should be thankful.
Right.
So we see, number one, the principle of giving thanks. Then we see, number two, the particulars of giving thanks. Well, notice what our text says. It's pretty interesting. It says, in everything, give thanks.
Right.
Can we say that together, those five words? Ready, begin. In everything, give thanks. Then he goes on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, some Christians will say, well, I'd like to find the will of God. Preacher, if I only knew the will of God. But you know, scriptures plainly tell us the will of God in some matters.
Right.
This is one of them.
Right.
You want to know the will of God? Here it is. The will of God for you and for me is for every believer to, in everything,
Amen.
Give thanks.
Right.
Everything.
Well,
last week I told you we were at my son's and my daughter-in-law's down there. We had a very nice time with the kids and just spending time, did a bunch of things. But I noticed when we were eating in their eating area, I guess you could call it a dining area, that Natalie had this sign on the wall that caught my attention the first day. And just about every day, my seat happened to be there looking at that sign. And I read it every single meal and was thinking, it was very convicting to me. Here's what the sign said. It's a very simple sign, but chew on it for a moment. It read this: I still remember the days I prayed for the things I have now. I'm going to say that again. I still remember the days I prayed for the things I have now. You see, so often what we do is we pray for things. And then God gives us exactly what we prayed for. And then we take them for granted.
Right. God help us.
We take for granted His blessings.
Lord,
and we become unthankful for them. And we complain about them.
Right.
What happened? These are the things we prayed for. Some people pray for a spouse. Oh, God, give me a Christian spouse. Give me somebody that fears the Lord. And then God gives you that spouse. And years down the road, now you're complaining about something you don't like about that spouse.
Right.
That's what you prayed for. Many pray for children. You know, there are a lot of people who can't have children. That would die, and I speak metaphorically, would die to have kids. But they can't. And you pray, and you say, oh, God, give us a big family. Give us kids. And God gives them to you. And now years down the road, you're complaining about them. What happened? We can say that about so many things.
Right.
We can say that about our job. Oh, God, give me a job where I can be a church faithful and get that job. And then we complain about it. We pray about a ministry. Oh, God, let me be a Sunday school teacher. Let me be a bus captain. Let me go into ministry. And then God gives it to us.
Praise the Lord.
Then here we are complaining about it. We pray for a good church. Oh, God, I pray that there's a good church here. It's, you know, Independent Baptist, King James, believes the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, and God gives it to you.
Jesus.
And then you start complaining because you don't like the fact that there's some speakers on the side of the wall or the windows are dirty once in a while. What happened? You're hired, amen? What happened, though? Oh, we could say that about all those things. And that's what that's saying. You see, we should be thankful for everything and not stop thanking God for them. Remember, those are the things you prayed for and God blessed you with them.
Praise the Lord.
In everything,
Amen.
Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Right.
You know, I think of several things we should be thankful for. And first of all, I thought of our salvation. If you're here today and you're saved, you ought to be happy.
Hallelujah.
You should come to church rejoicing. I get it. You got problems. We all do. We have difficulties in our job and in our families and finances and all that stuff. But hey, if you're saved, thank God you're saved today.
Amen.
Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gifts, the Bible says.
Amen.
You know, I've never met a person that got saved that regretted it.
Right.
Now, if you do, you're not saved then. You didn't get it. Because if you got it, you won't regret it.
Right.
I never did. We ought to be thankful. Why is that? We don't deserve salvation.
Right. Amen.
God didn't get a good deal when He got you and me.
Right. Amen.
We should be so grateful. Think about it, Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, He died for those ungodly people. That's you, my friend. That's
right.
Me.
Amen.
He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because we were good. He didn't die for us because we were something special in and of ourselves, special because he loves us, certainly. He died for us because he loves us, and we didn't deserve any of it. Don't be thankful you're saved today. You know how many people fear death today? Fear the afterlife? Because they don't know what's going to happen?
Right.
If you're saved, you know you're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. Imagine all of your sins are under the blood, washed away. You have a sure home in heaven. You have been given the peace of God that passes all understanding. Knowing where you're going to go when you die because of the promises of God. And he didn't have to save us.
Right.
He didn't have to die for us.
Glory to God.
But he did.
Thank you, Jesus.
By the way, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I can give you something to be thankful for today.
Amen.
We can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
So we should be thankful for salvation.
Right.
We should be thankful also for, as Dr. O'Malley would put it, stuff.
Right.
We got stuff. I mean, how many storage facilities do we need anymore? We got basements and garages and attics. That's not enough. Now we have to have storage facilities for all our stuff.
Right.
I mean, we got so much stuff. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Jesus.
Will you stop for a moment and think of all the things that God has blessed you with? You know, as Americans, we have more possessions today than any other time in our history. You are the wealthiest generation in American history.
Right.
We got it all.
Right.
We've reached a point in history where things such as food, clothing, and shelter are no longer seen as a blessing. They're seen as our right.
God help us.
A right. It's not a right. It's a blessing.
Amen.
You see, the world looks at me and you in America. Why do you think they're flocking here? Why do you think they flee to come here? Because they see what we have. We have such great wealth. But we view it as being, we're entitled to it because we're Americans. We're not entitled to a thing.
Amen.
God blessed us with all of that.
And
we think if we encounter a situation that causes us to maybe have to tighten the budget a little bit, we get upset because we think we've been denied what is rightfully ours. Stop already.
Amen.
Stop and count your blessings. Name them one by one.
Hallelujah.
So we should be thankful for our salvation and for our stuff. Thirdly, we should be thankful for our circumstances.
Right. Amen.
Now this is where it gets difficult.
Right.
This is where many people don't get it, even believers. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Everything that happens in your life and my life, we should give thanks to God for that.
That's good.
Richard, you don't know what I've been through. I don't. But I know this. There's a God in heaven that has allowed that in your life for a reason.
Amen.
You see, Romans 8 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If I truly believe that, he goes on to say, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God is telling us here that everything, every circumstance that happens in your life and in my life may not be good, but it works together for good. There's a plan and a purpose behind it, and the primary purpose is for God to conform me and you into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make us better, to make us stronger. That's why. So you don't know my past. You don't know what I went through in my childhood. God knows, and there, I don't understand it, but I understand God. More about that in a minute here. And I know this. He allowed that for your strength and for your good and for his glory.
Amen.
We read in Psalm chapter 18 and verse 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." Notice the psalmist says, God's way is always perfect. I may not get it. I may not necessarily understand the why behind it, but I do know this. His way is perfect. Do you remember what Job said and how he responded when here was a man who is described in the Bible as a perfect man, an upright man, a man that escheweth evil, the Bible says. He had the fear of God in him, yet in one day he lost all of his possessions and most of his family there. Do you remember what he said?
Amen.
If you don't, I'll remind you. Job 1:20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped."
Right. Amen.
"And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor, notice, charge God foolishly.
Praise the Lord.
He didn't blame God. He didn't curse God. He saw everything in his life as being a blessing from God. And God has the right to give it. And God has the right to take it away.
Amen.
And he said, "I thank God for that.
Amen.
I thank God for that."
Praise the Lord.
Are you that way? Do you thank God only when things go your way?
Right.
Or do you thank God when they don't go your way? Do we thank God only when it turns out the way I think it should, the way I expect it to? Or do we thank Him either way? Do I only thank God when I win? Or do I thank God also when I lose? Do I thank God when I do well, but not when I don't do well? Do I thank God only when I'm healthy and not when I'm sick? Do I thank God when He heals that loved one from their sickness? Or when He takes that loved one out into eternity? Do I thank God for everything? You say, "That's not easy." I agree. I am not Superman Christian. It's hard. But if we understand some things, we'll be able to do it. You say, what do I have to understand? Which brings me to my last point. So we see the principle of giving thanks. We see the particulars of giving thanks. But then number three, and we're done, the prerequisites of giving thanks. How can I give thanks to God for something I don't really like happening?
Right. Good.
How do I do that? There are two prerequisites of giving thanks, of being able to obey that verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. What are these prerequisites? Here they are, most important part of the message. Ready?
Amen.
Number one is this: have a right view of God.
Right. Amen.
You see, when I understand what the Bible teaches me about our God, that He loves me.
Amen.
He never stops loving me. He loves me with an everlasting love.
Right.
And that He knows more than I know.
Right. Amen.
Imagine us having the audacity to think otherwise.
Amen.
He knows more than I know. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future.
Amen.
He knows all of that. And He always, our God, always does what is right.
Amen.
And what is best. Praise and what brings Him glory.
Amen.
And that He is always, in all that we're seeing, He's always right. Working things together for good. And that His ways are higher than my ways.
Hallelujah.
You see, when I get that, then I can give thanks for everything. You see, I don't have to understand everything. See, that's the problem. We think, I want to know why. You don't have to know. Who are you?
Amen.
Who am I?
Right.
We don't have to know why. I don't have to understand everything. I just have to understand who God is.
Amen. Right.
He loves me. He always does what's right. He always does what's good. He is for me. And so, really, giving thanks is a matter of faith. And it's a matter of trusting God.
Amen.
So I have to have the right view of God.
Right.
And then number two, I have to have the right view of myself.
Right.
You see, we really think we're something.
Right.
We all do. We all do.
Amen.
But when I understand that I don't deserve a thing.
Amen. Right.
Now, I'm not trying to be ugly or brash here, but the only thing that we deserve is hell. Is hell.
That's right.
Because of our, that's what we deserve. We've sinned against God. We deserve an eternity in hell. That's what we deserve. Nothing else. So that means everything above that is a thumbs up. Everything above that is a plus. You see, on my very best day, I am nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And so anything that I get, anything that I receive, anything that God gives me is a blessing from God.
Amen.
It's easy for me to give thanks in everything when I get that.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I understand who God is, right view of Him, Amen. And the right view of me.
Right.
I heard Dr. Paul Chappell once say this, and I wrote it down in my Bible, and I did because I need it. He said, the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing.
Amen.
You see, if I don't expect anything,
right.
then anything I get, I'll be thankful for.
That's good.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So I ask you this morning, you want to do the will of God? Do you say, preacher, I want to do the will of God in my life? Okay, why don't we start with this one here. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
Would you publicly express your thanks to God? Just say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Would you at least this Thursday, I mean, more than just bowing your head for 10 seconds to thank Him for having your gully filled with turkey.
Right.
Thank Him for a little bit more than that.
Amen.
Maybe take a moment and say, you know what? I thank God He saved my soul.
Amen.
I thank God He has blessed me by living in America. I thank God for the freedom to come to a church like this, to open a Bible, to hear some nut up on the platform, preach out the Word of God. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Take some time. You can leave the nut part out. That was when Brother McKay was preaching. No, I'm kidding. Okay. But could we do a little bit more than thanking Him for the food?
Right.
And spending 5 seconds before we go to bed, thank you for the day. You know, let's thank Him for everything.
Right.
Listen, our God is so good to us.
Praise the Lord.
Don't take the thanks out of thanksgiving.
Right.
Make it a day of thanksgiving. Amen. Better yet, display a life
Amen.
Of thanksgiving.
Right.
Listen, I get it. I could go through this auditorium and point out all the issues that we have to deal with in life. Sickness, loved ones sick, death of loved ones, all kinds of things. We're all dealing with stuff.
Right.
But if we have the right view of God and the right view of self,
Amen.
We can say, Lord, I don't understand everything. But I thank You because I know You have a purpose and a reason behind all You do. And I thank You for that.
Amen.
That's the spirit of a Christian. In everything, give thanks. Amen.